Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is all made alive. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus is all, is on the mainline. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus is all, is on the mainline. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. If you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Well, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. Maybe the season is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus is on, is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Well, I know that Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. If you need an everlasting friend, come on and tell him what you want. Well, I know that if you need an everlasting friend, come on and tell him what you want. Well, I know that if you need an everlasting friend, come on and tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. He's a wonderful Savior. Come on and tell him what you want. Oh, he is a wonderful Savior. Come on and tell him what you want. Well, do you know that he's a wonderful Savior? Come on and tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. Amen. Well, say good evening to you. This is Pastor Mike Feeney with the All Gospel Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. 6 o'clock is worship time. Time to give God his praise, time to give God his honor, time to give God his all, time to lift up holy hands, to go down in prayer, to talk to the Lord and listen to what God has for us. Many times we want to go where we want to talk to God, but many times we want God to hear us. But when will we stop and listen to God? When will we start to walk by God's mandates? When will we start to do the things that the Lord would have to be done, that we will be able to be blessed, that we will be able to receive grace and mercy, and we will be able to have a smile, a proverbial smile on the Lord's face? Do you make God smile by your existence today? Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. So I would like to say good evening to you. We are broadcasting also on Blog Talk Radio, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. We want to welcome those in Norway and in Canada, as well as the continental United States, around here in the Chicagoland area. And it's good to see a few folks on, Eugene Carter and my friend Broderick Day, Linda Spiney, good to see you, sir. And then Brother Kelly and others that are coming in. Good to have you this evening. God is an awesome God. I don't know about you, but he's an awesome God. Beside him, there is no other. Today, we've had some crazy weather, right? But the weather belongs to God. It didn't stop people from, over 40,000 people from running a marathon. And it's just interesting to think about 26.2 marathon back in Athens, Greece, if you know the history of it. A man named Marathon who had to carry a message, and he ran 26.2 miles. It was just 26 miles, but they wanted to add the 0.2 because he wanted to come by the Queen. So again, 26.2 miles, and once he delivered the message, he dropped dead because why would you run 26.2 miles? But today, it's been mastered by so many people. I thought that we have some folks over in Jamaica and Kenya and other places that are just professional runners. They're really just machines because they run it in 2 hours, 13 hours, 13 miles an hour, for 2 hours straight without break, without resting. And they run that race as a sprint. And there's others are still running and have done well, 3 hours, 4 hours, even more. But it'll probably take me about 2 weeks. But God bless all those runners today. We pray there was a few fatalities. I got a chance to see some of them in the end, and after they finished, they were very tenderful and walking very gingerly, right? Because that's a lot of strain on the physical body. But God bless those that have trained and have positioned themselves to be able to run that race. We all have a race to run. That's a physical race, but we all have a spiritual race to run. And we can take a pen from just that preparation for the physical race, being prepared, training, rehearsing, getting yourself equipped, dealing with interval running or interval learning, interval steps. It's so important. Well, the same thing happens in the spiritual realm. If we have to, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. So what is your goal today? Are you trying to get to heaven? Or do you want to be with God in the celestial grace of the Lord? Well, everything's going to be howdy, howdy, and there's going to be no more bills, no more pain, no more illness, no more sickness, no cancer. Amen, somebody. No foul talking and evil thinking. Amen, somebody. They'll be just praising God all day long. Everybody will have praise for the Lord on their tongue. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? Don't that sound good? Well, there's no stress, but there's nothing but bliss and unity and love and joy all to eternity. Just a wonderful thing. So we sang the song this morning, Jesus is on the main line. We're getting ready to go in prayer. We're getting ready to go to God in prayer. Well, we all stand in need of prayer. The city of Chicago stands in need of prayer. Just got completed with a very difficult trial that was covered up for so long, but yet what's in the dark, the Bible says, will come to the light. And so after the pressing of certain people and press and judge coming forward and saying, yes, it needs to be released, they found out about a shooting of a young black man named Laquan McDonald, and that the officer, Van Dyke, I don't know if he snapped or what happened, but unloaded 16 rounds in him. Well, the trial just finished. He was found guilty of second-degree murder, and each one of that not only that, but each one of those shots of aggravated assault, I think it is, carries a total sentence. So he's got quite a few years in front of him. And so we're just praying for both sides. We're praying for the families of Laquan McDonald, who will never have their child back again. But if it wasn't for the dash cam video, they may have never known what happened. They would have never got the truth. So we're just so thankful that God exposed it. It was nothing but God that brought it to the forefront. And so we don't know how many other cases there may have been, praying that there were none, but we never know. What you don't know can hurt you sometimes.
But we're so thankful to God that this one has been settled, that the family feels some sense of solace. I'm also praying for the Van Dyke family on his side, because now that he has been incarcerated, he's left others behind. A loving mother. I believe he has a wife. I don't know if he has any children, but it's just a difficult scenario. And all those coworkers and people that he worked with, and et cetera, people that had relationship with him, that detachment's now been taken there. And any time there seems to be a detachment where you're not prepared for it, be it death, be it divorce, be it incarceration, be it sickness, and on and on and on, it comes with stress, long nights and hurting feelings and difficult moments. So we're just praying for all for the city. I'm just thankful that for what I can hear so far, that calm and oversized and pretty pleased with the verdict. Praying for all those jurors that took time out of their busy schedule and analyzed the evidence, came together with a decision, and justice was served. And so we're praying that this will begin bring awareness to people everywhere that no one is above the law, not even the law. And God will make sure, hear what I say now, God will make sure, I don't care how heinous the crime it may be, when God gets ready to move, he will move, and no one can stop him. Amen, somebody. So you just have faith in God. Just have faith in God, and he will work it out. We have to have faith in God. We have to really put our trust in God, because man is feeble, man is fallible, and man is subject to error. And even in the text that we see today, it's going to show some indifference in the mindset of people. Let us go to God in prayer to open up our service this evening. We will have communion. We have online giving. I'll give that to you shortly. Then we will have the Word of God read. We will study God's Word, and we will continue to have fellowship one with another. You will have an opportunity also to comment if you have any prayer requests or comment on the lesson. You have two forms of functionality. You can type it in on the screen, or you can go to Blog Talk, and you can call us at 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. And we'll be able to talk and hear what your response is. Let us go to God in prayer. God, merciful Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, it's to you we give honor and praise today, thanking you the very best we know how. Father, we thank you for being our God, for beside you there is no other. We thank you for just loving us in the manner in which you do, and continue to protect us in the manner in which you do, and continue to love us and strengthen us in the manner in which you do, for your process is always perfect. There's never nothing wrong with your process. Even we as servants who have to subject ourselves to the process sometimes don't do that because we don't have control of the process. But in order to have true faith in you, we need to relinquish our power, relinquish our strength, and relinquish ourselves to you. Be sympathetic in your hands and allow you to mold us and protect us in the ways that only you know that you stand in need of. Father, we just love you today. We're praying for Chicago, praying for everything that it's going through. Father, praying for our families, praying for all those that are online with us this evening. Ask you to continue to bless them and keep them in the way they stand in need of. Thanking you for the jewelry ministry, Father, that is touching lives, and we will be able to help to feed the homeless this fall, and also be able this winter, and also be able to send more use on to higher learning. Just so thankful for that. Father, we just love you. We adore you and what you do. Praying for my wife, praying for our relationship, praying for our representation that you will be pleased with, Father. Praying also for my extended families, praying for our daughters, Juanita and Nicole. Ask you to bless them and keep them in ways that you know they readily stand in need of. Praying for our sister Laura Alice, who's running for president of the United States in 2020. Praying for her campaign run. Father, that it will be an experience she's never had before. That she will run a good moral campaign. Help to bring morality back into the situation and get some questions answered. Father, we're just praying for this world today, for it stands in need of prayer. Father, we just ask you to continue to be with us and strengthen us in ways we stand in need of. And as we go into this rest of the day, we pray that the Holy Spirit will take over, that it will have its way with the Word of God, that we will be able to understand, like a newborn child, the grafted Word of God that is able to nourish us and save our souls. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Alas, indeed, my Savior bleed, and it must ever die. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? It was at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. We find in Acts 20:7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, the Apostle Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse number 23. He put in this, I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he broke it, he gave thanks. He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup. After he sucked, saying that this cup is the New Testament in my blood, drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread unworthily and drinketh the cup unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many were sick and weakly among me, and many did sleep. Many of us are having problems today because we're taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Make sure that you clean yourself up mentally as you take God's communion, and you do this in remembrance of him. Let us together pray for the bread and the wine. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may now take of the bread and the wine. I know it was a blood. Oh, yes, and I know it was a blood. Oh, yes, and I know it was a blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Amen. Amen. Good to see you, Jim Hastings and Tanaka Glover. Good to have you guys this evening. God bless you. Hope things are going well with you. If you have your Bibles, a copy of God's manuscript, turn to the 6th chapter of the book of John. After the release of this song, we're going to go to the Word of God. Watch ye therefore, you know not the day, when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you labor, striving for the right, you shall wear a golden crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, I shall wear a golden crown. Now be not like the foolish virgins did, for he's coming, and you know not when. Have your lamps on, trimmed and burning bright, then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, I shall wear a crown. Now if at last I hold on to the end, Jesus is an everlasting friend. If I stay with in the Church of Christ, then I shall wear a golden crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds, I shall wear a crown. Now if you fight this good fight of faith, and with patience run the race, when you lay your gospel on the ground, then you shall wear a golden crown. I shall wear a crown. When the trumpet sounds,
I shall wear a crown.
we're proud. When the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear the God crown. Are you looking for your mansion, your robe, and your crown? Jesus made us a promise. He says, let not your heart be troubled, John 14. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions and many rooms, very spacious. For what I said, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare that place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Do you believe in the promises of God? Do you believe that God has not left you behind? Do you believe that he has prepared a place for you in heaven? That there's space, there's room for you in heaven? And the question is, do you want to go? Do you want to get there? Obedience and sacrifice will put you where God would have for you to be. Amen, somebody. Good to see you, Evelyn Jackson, Dwayne Anderson, Ruby Williams, others that have come on that snuck through. I didn't get a chance to get your name, but God bless you. Glad to have you with us this evening. In the sixth chapter of the book of John, you know, you have the Gospels, the biography, four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And many times what you have is you have four different viewpoints or four different testimonies of what they saw. And sometimes one is seen a little bit, seen that the shirt was red, where another one saw that there were two people on the left side. But both of them saw the interaction, said they were looking at a car accident. All four people saw the car accident. They saw the two cars. They saw the collision. They can tell you the colors of the cars. They can tell you the individuals that's there. But they saw different details because they were in different positioning. One saw by a fire plug. One saw by a stop sign. And they viewed it from different things. But they all got the same information. Good to see you, Yolanda. And so it's such a blessing to be able to know that we have comfort, because John, the apostle that Jesus beloved, wrote five books in the New Testament. The Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and was fortunate enough to write the book of Revelation. Outside of Paul, wrote the most letters or the most books that we have in the New Testament compilation. At any time you put your mother in someone's care, that's somebody special to you. Now, we know that John wasn't a pushover. He was one of the Diogenes brothers, James and John. They were called sons of thunder, so he would get it done. John was a pushover. And many times we don't bring that out. But John loved Jesus. He was part of Jesus' executive committee. Well, even though Jesus had 12 apostles, three of them received information that was more intimate than some of the other nine. And they were to bring that information to them in due time. Peter, James, and John. Yes, John was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And John was there at the foot of the cross, holding Jesus' mother. When Jesus says, behold, your mother. I'm putting my mama in your hands. Take care of her. She's your mama, too. That's important. That's key to know that we have, that God can trust us so much that he can put, that he can give us command and we will follow out orders. As we take a look here in the sixth chapter of the book of John, and I guess I'm going to start reading because it just continues to build and build and build as Jesus calls himself, talks about being the bread of life. So let's just start reading at verse number 22 because I want you to get a good understanding of what we're talking. But we're going to pick up our message in verse number 60. But we want to set the stage for it. Do you have time for God's word? Do you have time to listen to the Lord? The Bible says, and I'm reading from the Holman Standard Christian Study Bible, and you read from your translation. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea knew there had been only one boat. They also knew that Jesus had not boarded the boat with the disciples, but that the disciples had gone off alone. Some boats from Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, came near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. I like that. Because if you get to a place where Jesus is not at, are you seeking Jesus? When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves that were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life." There's a message in there. Many times we work for perishable goods rather than work for eternal life. Which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. What can we do to perform the works of God, they asked. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." We're in a world today that do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. They have an antichrist spirit. And so those who are with the antichrist spirit automatically are not of God. Because in order to be of God, in order to be a work of God, in order for it to be a part of God, you must believe that Jesus is the one that he has sent. What sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe you? Ain't that interesting? That he's telling you must believe in him, but now, in order for us to believe you're the one, let us see his sign. They asked, "What are you going to perform?" Do we always want Jesus to do a Bojangles, to do a dance for us? Do we treat him like a genie in the bottle, or we just want him to be our beck and call? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, "I assure you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. What bread are you eating today? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. And no one who believes, as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's going to take Jesus to get you to heaven. It's going to take the testimony of the Son and the stamp of approval of the Son in order for the Father to grant access. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 41, therefore, the Jews started complaining about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. You ask a question, you receive the answer, but you don't want to honor the answer. So you start to complain, you start to murmur, start an uproar or confusion amongst yourself, which is a form of discord and division. They were saying, isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus, we know your mom and father. We know where you come from. We've seen, we've been around for a minute. You're telling us you came down from heaven. But we know Mary and we know Joseph. And we know that's your mom and your dad. Good to see you, Joanne Culver. We're in John chapter 6, around verse 43 now. Jesus answered them, stop complaining amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. Notice what he says, everyone. Everyone who has listened and learned from God, the Father, they come to Jesus. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. You've been serving God by faith, and now God gives you someone to look at, eyeball to eyeball, retina to retina, and follow, and you won't come to him. I assure you, verse 47, anyone who believes has eternal life. The importance of belief. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the bread, the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the light of the world is my flesh. They were confused. Look at the response. At that, the Jews argued amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, they're thinking cannibalism now. They're seeing a death sacrifice that now they think, because you would eat of the sacrifice, how are you going to eat Jesus? They was having problems because they didn't understand from a spiritual nature. All they could understand is from what they could see, a carnal nature. And if you never elevate your thinking beyond what you can see, you'll never have faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And without it, it's impossible to please God. He says, the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus says, I am giving the world my flesh. He's going to lay his life down. Verse 52, at that, the Jews argued amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, I assure you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink blood, you do not have life in yourselves. When you're understanding communion a little bit more now, communion helps give us life, vitality, and helps us to continue on. And it comes from God. Remember, we said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now he tells him, he says, I assure you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself. See, they don't understand. They have an Isaac mindset of Genesis 22. Isaac said, Daddy, I see the fire. I see the wood. The land is the land. He says, God will provide. They understood sacrifice. They understood sacrifice on the altar. But they did not understand faith of God's provisions. Jesus is telling them, here these stiff-necked Jews, the same thing right here. You come all the way across the sea to find me. That takes some effort. That takes some work. But now I'm answering your questions. And you don't want to receive the answer. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. See, they're thinking, how can a dead sacrifice still live? On the phone now. How can a dead sacrifice still live? Because Jesus is not dead. He is alive forevermore. Did he die? Yes. He died on Golgotha Hill on the cross. Evidenced. Right? But the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, God the Father, is the same resurrected power that can raise you even today. What pit or what grave are you in today that you're dealing with? That God, and you've asked and you cried out and you prayed to God, God, give me the answer, and yet you won't receive it because you have stunted or no faith in God. If God says it, that settles it. There's a bumper sticker that says, if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. But that's blasphemy. Come on, preacher, why you say that? That's blasphemy. Because if God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. So we need to understand that what God says is not constituted on whether we believe. What we have to do is obey and believe by faith. My blood. We're at verse 53. So Jesus said to them, I assure you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Do you want real food and real drink? Or do you want some artificial food and some artificial drink? The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. Notice the secularness now. As you eat of my blood, and as you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, it causes me to live and abode and abide in you. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your fathers ate and they died. See, all they could wrap their minds around was Israel being led by a fire by night and by a cloud in the day. And they were murmuring, Israelites, why did you bring us out here to die when we had everything back in Egypt? And that's what we do now. You've been crying and trying to get out of a situation. The Lord helps you get out of that situation. You're safe and sound. You get out by the skin of your teeth sometimes. But God makes it possible. And then you go complaining and talking about how great it was. It's like being in a relationship with the Lord where God wakes you. He gives you everything. But yet you want more because you ain't got enough. God don't want no part-time lovers. And neither do you. Who wants a woman or a man who's not going to be committed to them? God wants committed servitude. We got to do better, y'all. He says, the one who eats of my bread will live forever. And he said these things while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. Verse 60 is where our lesson begins today. And I'm going to ask the question before I go there. What incident or what situation will cause you to leave God? And really, it's something that you have now decided is more valuable than the God that's given you life. Because much like Monty Hall or like Wayne Brady, when you pick door number two and God's behind door number one, you know he's behind door number one, but you picked door number two. You have walked away from God. But God may not have walked away from you. He's always near. Look at this, verse 60. Therefore, because of all this talk, all this teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum about the eating of the flesh and the drinking of the blood of Jesus, therefore, when many of the disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? Man, not only were the Jews, but the very ones that Jesus had handpicked. Woo! Man, he'd have hit us with a little bit of thunder. This is some hard teaching right here. Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, he asked them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe. See, we need to remember that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And you can hide behind a smile, right? You can throw a rock and hide your hand. But God knows the very intent of your heart. And he knows what you're going through. He knows what you're doing. He knows all that is happening. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe, and the one who would betray him. See, I like this text here. Although I don't like this text here. Come on, preacher, you're on both sides of the spectrum. I like this text here, and although I don't like this text here, let me explain. I don't like it based on the fact that he died for everyone, but everyone won't give their life to him. And even when he handpicked, that he fed, walked with him along with the others, within his intimate circle, that would be the one to betray him. I have to give you a theme today. It's know who's around you. Know who is in your circle. Because the one close to you might be the very one to get you. Bible shows all types of opportunities for that to take place. The world shows great men who won't attack but were very well protected from the outside. But it was gotten on the inside. And that's what happened with Jesus. He knew who was going to betray him. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. I hope you didn't miss that. Just because you are in the presence of God don't mean that you belong to God. Just because you are being catered to and being cared for by God, don't mean that you belong to God. You have to give yourself to God as God has given himself to you. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Folks, I don't know if you've ever had people walk out on you. Right in the middle of your mission, and the folks closest to you leave you. Well, there is a lot of heartache, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of hurt. But it takes a strong individual that is mission-minded and clothed by God's love keep going on. Let me explain. If you're a good soldier and you find yourself, you're in your platoon or whatever, you find yourself under fire, say there's four or five of you, and let's say there's five of you, and now you already are defending yourselves, but four gets killed, and you're the only one in that platoon that's still living. The carcasses are laying on you. You're underneath a body or two. That ain't the time to have a pity party. When you're at warfare and under siege, that ain't the time to ask questions. That's the time that what's in you will turn to action and will move you accordingly. That's the time you have to push off the bodies that have been brought down in warfare. And you have to get up out of the foxhole where the bodies of the carcasses are at, because you're still under fire. Maybe you'll move the place, but you have to keep moving with your mind still on the mission, because you may be the only one that can get the job done for God. And we don't forget that God has given us all personal missions. You have one talent, at least. Some of us are two talent men, some of us are five talent men. And if you do well with the two, God will give you two more, so you're not only a two talent person, you are a four talent person. I don't mean to just say men and women, right? And if you're a five-talent person, you've done well with all five, God will give you five more. Now you're a ten-talent person. But so much is given, much is required. But you have to be that one-talent person. You just got one good gift, one good thing. But if you don't do with it, if God does not get a harvest from the talent he's giving you, he's going to take it away from you and give it to somebody else. And many of us find ourselves hurting our bodies, going through all kinds of sickness and decay, all kinds of problems in our later life, because in our younger life, we would not serve God. You were serving the gods of this world, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And now as you've gotten older, your metabolism has slowed down, and you can't run as fast as you used to. Closer to Social Security and retire age, but may or may not have enough to get off and retire from. Now, the medicine comes in and it's sky high, rocketed high, and you don't have the resources. All kinds of ways God teaches us a lesson, but we need to wake up. Are you asleep? Are you asleep with your eyes wide open? Are you carnal today, or do you understand from a spiritual nature? You must understand that God, good to see you, Michelle Jordan, God has something for you. And although it may be difficult teaching, the last thing you want to do is leave God, because that's the source of life. That's the source, spirit. And when there is no spirit and there is no life, you're like dead like Rover all over. So does that offend you? Then what if you were to observe that the Son of Man ascending to where he was before, Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. The words that I have spoken to you, Jesus says, are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe. Do you believe today? For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and the one who would believe and the one who would betray him. See, Jesus knows if you truly are a believer. You can fake it all you want, but you can't fake the funk with God. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless he is granted to him by the Father. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Therefore, Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? See, God will give you an option. He's not going to force you. He doesn't want to put you in a foreign nation to make you worship him. He wants you to experience the blessings and be willing to follow him. You are consenting to God running your life. God will never rape nobody. I hope they hear me in the White House or even your house. God will never rape nobody. God wants a consenting servant that is willing to serve him committedly. And in return, God will continue to bless him beyond measure. But from that moment, many disciples turned back. Have you turned back now? Well, if you don't accept the hard teachings of Jesus, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, above all, and in you all, and through you all, amen. If you don't understand that God has but one church, and God has but one way to get into the church that was established in AD 33, on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38. And everyone must follow that cookie-cutter pattern to this day from that point. Because we no longer live under the Mosaic Law. We no longer live under the Jewish law. We no longer live under the patriarchal dispensation. Nor the Jewish dispensation. We are under the Christian dispensation of grace and truth. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've got some problems. And heaven will not be your home. Get with Jesus, and you get with life. Don't be like the disciples that were there, had been following him, and now something tough has come their way, and they are bewildered. They cannot handle it, so they turn back. That shows weak faith. How strong is your faith today? At that moment, when the disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him, therefore Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? God will give you a chance to leave if you want to go. But look at Simon Peter's answer. And if you can boldly stand and answer like Simon Peter, and I like it because it has the question there, but it also has the solidity there. What are you saying? He's noted as Simon Peter. He's Simon because that's his earthly name, right? And that's when he's weak as water or cursing and cutting, right? But he's Peter, which is Petros, which means rock. And that's the name Cephas in Aramaic that Jesus gave him. Sometimes we've been given a name by God, but yet we want to run back to our old name. You are either a saint or you ain't. You're either with God or by fault you're not. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay, because anything in between is evil. You cannot serve two masters. So you got to serve God. Simon Peter, Lord, who will we go to? Jesus says, you don't want to go ahead to do you? Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. So I love that song. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe, and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You are the Anointed One. You are the Messiah of God. You are the long-awaited one that the world has been waiting on. Look at Christ's answer as he replies to them. Didn't I choose you, the 12? Answers yes. He said, yet one of you is the devil. That tells me that God can choose you, but you will let the devil use you. God can choose you, but you may let the devil use you. If God has chosen you, then he has purpose and direction for your life. No room for Satan. But if you allow Satan to get a toehold in, he'll try to drive you to your grave. God may choose you, but the devil may use you. Don't allow Satan to use you when God has chosen you. Look at that verse again. Good to see you, Sister Lopez. Verse number 70. Jesus replied to him, didn't I choose you? John chapter 6, right? Verse 70. Didn't I choose you? He said, for 12, he said, yet one of you is the devil. God knows you inside and out. God knows the very intent of your heart. He knows what your plans are. He knows what you're trying to do before you even start to do it. He knows what you think before you think it. And let me tell you this, as bad as you may be, you ain't bad than God, because you cannot thwart the plan of God. Jesus says, I chose you 12. I handpicked you out of the multiplicity of disciples. I have purpose for you. And yet one of you is the devil. He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. One of the 12. Because he was going to betray him. Do you have plans to betray Jesus? Not following Jesus is turning from Jesus. Notice what it says in chapter 7. After this, Jesus traveled in Galilee, because he did not want to travel to Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. Jesus was very much in tune with what was going on in society. You cannot walk with blinders on, not understanding what's around you. you may step on a landmine. But if you're in tune with what surrounds you, God will move you and will protect you. But don't let the devil use you when God has chosen you. If you're here today and died for you, but so that means he chose you. But it's up to you to choose him. Remember, he asked the disciples, you will leave too? They left because it was, the rest of the disciples left because it was a hard thing. They could not understand eating of the bread and of the wine or eating of his flesh or drinking of his blood. They said, we're not cannibals. We're not going to do that. But Jesus makes it clear, unless you eat of his flesh, unless you drink of his blood, he's not in you. There's no interaction between the two of you. There's no intimacy between you. And if God's not in you, then we know who's driving you. You are of your father, the devil. The only remedy, the only antidote, the only answer to Satan is Jesus Christ. Will you come to God today? Will you come to Jesus today? Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Be trained by God. How do I come to God? So glad you asked that question. I'm so giddish that you asked that question. Because that means that you are thinking in the right direction. Remember, no one comes to the Father, or no one comes to Jesus unless the Father sends him. Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door. How do I come to Jesus? It's a five-step plan to save every man. It comes by hearing his word. This is the word of God. Hearing God's word. We always want God to hear us. Now it's time to listen to God's word. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It must cause you to believe that word, right? Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking God? My Moses, Dr. Cardio Harper, was really hammer that point home. He says, diligently seek, not just seek. You must diligently seek. How does man diligently seek? He says, think of a haystack and take a needle and throw it in a haystack. Well, you know, that's going to be crazy trying to find that needle in a haystack. And now you go take every strand of hay one by one, peel it away, till you get to the needle. You know, get all the way to the bottom till you find that needle. But that's diligently seeking the needle. That means you got to put forth some effort, some blood, sweat, and tears. You got to give God your all. You got to be seeking him. And if you're seeking, you'll find him. Because he's omnipresent. He's near, waiting to hear from you. So you hear, you believe. Your belief must cause you to change your mind. Turn to God. That's repentance. Luke 13, 3 and 5, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. It must cause you to confess the sweetest name to have a word off a mortal's tongue. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By this confession, it brought death to Christ, but for you it will bring life evermore to you if you're baptized for the remission of your sin. Matthew 10:32, he that confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denied me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Then you must be baptized, covered up in water, a watery grave, for the remission of your sin. Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, for unto your children, and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God has called unto himself. That's that Abrahamic promise given to God's children. If you want to listen to Peter, how about listen to Paul? Romans 6:3-4. Know you not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ's death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in newness of life. Become a new creation in Christ Jesus after baptism. Well, if you won't listen to Peter and you won't listen to Paul, maybe you'll listen to Jesus. Mark 16:15-16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Salvation, deliverance, eternal life comes only by God. God has now given us the plan, has now given us the solution, and now it's for mankind everywhere to walk therein. Decision time. Are you ready to be baptized for the remission of your sin? Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. See, if you have a response, this is invitation time. You have a prayer request, you can just type it in and we'll pray for you. I would rather you call in. Let us hear from you. Call 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. One more time, 619-924-0767. You can dial it right now. You come in, you'll be on hold, and I will bring it to you, and we'll be able to hear what your request is and what your comment is on the lesson today. Has God offended you? God wants to defend you by taking you to heaven with him. Whatever your needs are, Jesus has come right now while the blood is running warm in your veins. At last, all my trial will hold my world, my care. I can tell them to my Lord and heal my burdens there. Through the pain and the strain, only Jesus gives me hope through all my trials. Oh, my trial. Let's gather prayer. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, thank you for all these dear souls that are here today, Father. Bless their lives and touch them in ways they stand in need of. We know that you have infrared vision and you can able to read the intent of our hearts. So whatever's puzzling us, whatever's hurting us, Father, we're asking you to give us some TLC and some comfort and some answer to this day. Bless us all as we strive to make heaven our home, that your words don't offend us, but that they help us run to you and have trust in you by faith. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. We've sang, we have communed, we've had fellowship one with another, we have read God's word, we've studied God's word, and we've had interaction on God's word. Mental assent. You have an opportunity to call them, you're ready to go to the line. My wife is there, and if you tune in, if you call in as well, 619-924-0767, we'll hear from you as well. And we also have giving. We have online giving here at the Golgotha Church of Christ. If this ministry is blessing you in any way, shape, or form, you have different ways that you can give. You can write a check payable to the Golgotha Church of Christ. And just hit me up, and I will give you the address for that, preparing for our P.O. box to receive those responses. You can Western Union at all times. You also have the ability to use Cash App. $GCOC1 is our Cash App. Or you can go to our website, www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. Under the donation tab on the home page, there are two tabs. One that says tithes and offering. So you can either leave a tithe and offering, or you can just leave a love offering of any type. And so you have those opportunities to be able to give as well. And we pray that blessed are those that give. This ministry is helping you help others. We want to thank those that are part of the jewelry ministry. We have Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30. Come back and be with us at 7:30 on Thursday nights. Excuse me, 7 o'clock on Thursday nights. Matter of fact, we collaborate with Armed and Dangerous Ministries out of Des Moines, Iowa. I teach that class. And then also on Saturday morning at 10:30 and then Saturday evening at 7:30 is our jewelry ministry. That ministry is geared for to be able to help to feed the homeless here in the winter months, and also to put together funding for youth scholarships in 2019. For those of you that know, we've helped 7 over the last 2 years on our own, and we're looking to expand that. So we have taken on a consultantship with Paparazzi Jewelry. So you may need stocking stuffers and things during the holidays at cost. At a very reasonable cost, and also be able to help someone eat and someone go on to high school of higher learning. Such a blessing. We are brother's keeper, and many times we don't have the opportunity to bless one another. Let us look out for one another. One more song, and we'll be dismissed. I know a man standing by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I know a man, I know a man. He's standing by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I never knew, knew a man like this before, who could open so many doors. I know a man, I know a man, standing by the Jordan, wiping tears from everybody's eyes. My last time we're going to talk. How you doing, dear?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I'm just suffering, dealing with this little slight head cold, but other than that, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Any comments on the lesson today?
Yes, yes, yes. The lesson was very, how do you put it, thought-provoking. It's to help us to understand what times and things in our lives that we do not understand. When we have a relationship with God, I believe that's what I do. I just ask God for enlightenment and wisdom. But keep holding on to God's unchanging hand and stay near the cross and put your little hands in God's big hands and never, never let go, because he will never leave you. So that was a very good, powerful lesson. I thank you for that.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Wisdom and understanding. Ask God for wisdom and understanding. You guys do something today for somebody that they can't repay you for, giving Jesus Christ and crucified. We love you. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless you. In the name of Jesus. See you soon. Amen.